Route 66. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
You'd written one book,
Oil Man.
So your second book was Route 66.
Yeah. Route 66 has always been on my mind because I was very familiar with Route 66. Remember, I grew up near an original alignment of the highway. I sold newspapers on the highway. It was the highway we took, one version or another, to go see relatives in Chicago, on a big yellow school bus to go to the Lincoln sites in Springfield, Illinois, to Lincoln's tomb, to go west on the classic Western journey as a kid, seeing my first cowboys and Indians, my first pump jacks, eating my first enchiladas, seeing the neon, the outlaw hideouts, the Grand Canyon, all of this. So it was all part of my psyche. I did my first courting on Route 66, you know, 55 Black Savoy Plymouth, stick shift. And as a young reporter, I covered the good, the bad, the ugly in 66. I've lived in 7 of the 8 states. The only one I haven't lived in is Kansas, where there's less than 14 miles. So with all that in mind, when Route 66 was officially decertified over the decades from the mid-50s, when Eisenhower signed the Interstate Highway Act, it took to the mid-80s. By 1985, when the last Shields went down, people were talking about the road in the past tense. As I'm writing Oil Man and thinking about the next book, I'm thinking, why are they doing this? I know my road's still out there. 85% of it's still there, and it is. I knew that Ted Drews was up in St. Louis serving up frozen custard, and that Angel Delgadillo in Seligman, Arizona, was cutting hair in that old barber chair, and that Lillian Redmond was switching on the blue swallow neon in Tucum Carry, and that the Rock Cafe in Stroud, Oklahoma, was still serving up mom's meatloaf. I thought, this is ridiculous. So I talked to my then agent and to Bob Weil, who became my editor at St. Martin's Press and has stayed with me all these years, now over at W.W. Norton. Bob thought it was great, and I wrote Route 66, The Mother Road, published in 1990, and that book sparked and ignited a renaissance that continues to this day. Close to 1 million copies sold.
I think it's important to point out here that there is a difference between travelers and tourists.
That's right.
And you were a great traveler.
Even when I was traveling with tourists, I was a traveler.
So what is the difference between travelers and tourists?
To put it in a nutshell, it's this. To be a traveler, you need to be a bit of a risk taker. You have to totally shun the word predictable. If you like the predictable, if you like the overly familiar, if you want the generic, stick to being a tourista. But if you are interested at all, getting off the beaten path, of trying something new, of slipping off that off-ramp. William Blake, the English poet, he has a quote, and I'm kind of paraphrasing it, roads of improvement are straight roads, but the crooked roads are the roads of genius. So I look out for crooked roads. Route 66 is such a road, my road, the mother road. I'm a son of Route 66. That's why I go back to this highway. That's why I wrote that book, which is unabashedly a love letter, not only to the highway, but more importantly, to the people who are still out there on that highway.
So it was a combination, the fact that you were a good writer, but you were also a traveler. So those two sides of you came together.
I've always been a traveler. You know, I've always been kind of gypsy-footed. You know, I grew up in Missouri, and like many Missourians, I look west. I look west down the immigrant trails, down the Santa Fe Trail, down the Oregon Trail, down Route 66. I've always looked to the west. As an established writer, I more or less declared my major as the great Trans-Mississippi American West. And that's primarily where all my professional experience has been, from Guadalajara to Calgary, and all that space in between. Not only the past, but the present as well. The contemporary American West, the pop culture American West, the biography, the history, the grit, the good, the bad, and the ugly.